You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
You've listened to OneOfUs.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
Clegane Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers!
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to OneOfUs.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.
I saw wilder people around here. Hey, Herman, have you seen any wilder people around here?
I have not, but I've seen a Sam Neill.
Oh, hold on. Yep, I just got one. He's in my Pokemon ball.
Oh, not that stuff again.
What? I mean, I caught a wild wilder people.
Did you know?
I did.
Huh?
It's not worth it.
I was OG Pokemon. I played, you know, red, blue, heart, or was it gold, silver? I did all that
now
stuff.
Now you lost me. I have no
yeah.
idea what
yeah,
you're
exactly.
about.
Yeah, exactly. See, you know people.
The Hunt for the Wilder People has nothing to do with Pokemon, although there is a lot of cell phone use early on in the film.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So clearly
because
someone was playing
it's
that.
A little... I don't even know what you call someone who's like 10 or 11 years old now, because there's like millennials. They're too young to be a millennial.
Preteen. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Is there a name yet for that generation?
No, I think that's millennials.
Doomed?
I think that's appropriate.
the Trump youth.
Yeah. They'll be Trump's, what, Wild Boys? What's the people from, God, Mad Max, Fury Road?
Oh, yeah.
War Boys.
Trump's
yeah.
War Boys, seriously. No, this is the latest film from Taika Waititi, who you're like, I don't know who that is. Well,
you will
okay,
soon.
You will very soon, if you don't already. If you haven't watched his I don't think it was his first film, but first big film, What We Do in the Shadows.
Yep, fantastic.
Oh, my God. That's like one of my favorite comedies of the decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so funny.
Really like a horror comedy.
I've watched it like six times.
Yeah, I've watched it twice, so...
It was one of those, I just became a comfort film last year for me, where
sure.
I just kept rewatching it.
It's a kind of comedy where it's not always, kind of much like this one, where it's not always a laugh-out-loud comedy, but it was always consistently funny throughout, or charming.
And this one goes, like, even though they both have that same, the thing that this director does so well is work with New Zealand characters, like guys, total cards who are of New Zealand descent. It was sort of rural New Zealand folk,
bush
who are like, What We Do in the Shadows, they're urban, but you know,
right.
Like
but
here
is...
being rural. I mean, he's just great with this, like, it's quirky, but not self-consciously quirky.
Yeah.
Like, he just does that in all his films where you're like, these are odd people who you really get attached to very quickly.
Definitely.
Here, yeah, as you said, very rural as Ricky Baker, who's played by Julian Dennison, who apparently not his first film. He won the New Zealand Film Award for Best Supporting Actor in a 2013 film called Shopping that I never saw but heard was good.
I have not seen that.
But he's a little fat kid. Who's like,
he's more than a little fat.
He's a lot fat.
He's morbidly obese.
Yeah, he's morbidly obese fat kid who is, you know, from the city.
Yeah.
And apparently he just, like, all his foster homes, they just don't work out.
Mm-hmm. He's a bad egg, as we learn.
Yeah. So last try, they've sent Child Welfare Services has sent him out to this house way out in the country on the very edge of
the bush.
In New Zealand that is run by a wonderful woman who's just like one of those people who just like her whole thing is she just takes in strays.
Aunt Bella.
She's just like the best.
She is.
Like you just love her right off the bat because she's wearing a kitten sweater.
Of course. Yeah. As soon as I saw this sweater, it's like Chris going to point this out during the review.
And even this kid who's been nothing but trouble everywhere else he went falls for her almost immediately. They bond really quickly. Like, as a mom figure. Not, he doesn't want to have sex with her.
No, not in that way. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, she kind of puts up with his kind of attitude. And
she learns that she knows how to redirect it.
Exactly. Yeah, to something positive.
And, you know, I mean, he's not, like, the greatest kid in the world all of a sudden. But he's finally found a place that he actually, for the first time in his life, can call home.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of right off the bat. This is very early in the film. You're very charmed.
Definitely.
The only problem in the situation at all is Sam Neill, who lives there as well, who's Uncle Heck, who is her husband, but also was a stray that she took in as a reveal.
Former archaeologist.
Here's the thing.
Sam Neill is playing Dr. Alan Grant in this movie.
Yeah, well, he
hates children.
That's true.
And to me, like, in my headcanon, this movie takes place years after Jurassic Park 3, where Sam Neill is like, or Dr. Alan Grant has abandoned his passion for dinosaurs, everything like that, because everything that happened on Isla Nublar was awful.
He's broken.
He's broken. He went insane because he forgot how to read, which is important in this movie. And he's like, I'm just going to live out in the bush. I have all these skills, obviously, for surviving dinosaurs, but I still have my intense hatred of children.
God damn, so, that all works.
Yeah, I know. It totally does.
Tracks. It hadn't even occurred to me to put that in there. I was going to go with In the Mouth of Madness, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, certainly, I don't think this movie could be like a spinoff of Daybreakers because he's
probably
not a vampire.
No. But yeah, he's a grumpy...
Sam Neill.
Yeah. He's like, doesn't like kids, doesn't really like people, doesn't like civilization, spends most of his time hunting in the bush, and like clearly isn't totally thrilled with there being a kid there, although... You know, there's a point, like, there's a birthday party they have for him where even he cracks a smile. It's kind of like, it's kind of... But then, Aunt Bella dies out of nowhere.
Spoiler.
Not really. I mean,
it happens, like, first 20 minutes.
Yeah, so. It's the point of the whole rest of the film.
Exactly.
The actual point of the film. And they're like, oh, shit. And they get a letter saying, like, social services is going to come for the kid. And the kid's like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
That was my last chance. They're going to put me in a juvie home, which is jail for kids, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, like... I don't want to do that. So he takes off into the woods. Sam Neill, Uncle Heck, goes to go chase him after him, finds him, but then fractures his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, he's like, look, we're too far out. We can't go back at this point until this heals up some. So we're going to have to camp. I'll teach you some things until I'm well enough to walk back. So they're there for several weeks, like 6 weeks, I think they said.
Yeah.
By the time they get anywhere near civilization again, they find out there's a massive manhunt for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The social worker character in here, played by Rachel House,
who is brilliant.
Like a total lunatic, basically. Yeah. She's the villain of the film.
No, she is. I mean, she even fancies herself the Terminator.
Yeah.
Which like, I love.
Literally.
What's her line? It's for the children. It's for the kids.
No, she said, No child left behind. There's a point she's on a news show. She just keeps saying it.
Yeah.
The news anchors are like,
What the hell's wrong with you?
she's become the sort of the head of the group that's chasing them out in the woods. And she was unpleasant the first time we meet her.
Oh, yeah.
Talking right in front of the kid about what a horrible kid he is. She's just like, Jesus Christ.
He breaks stuff, burns stuff, BT stuff.
So they basically say, well... They come to an agreement of like, look, he's been in jail. Sam Neill's character, and he's like, you know, I wouldn't want to subject this kid to teen jail, whatever. And it doesn't look like there's another way. So yeah, fuck it. Maybe we'll just go live off the land and survive in the woods. You know, he's not the most responsible adult in the world. But either way, the kid do have a weird sort of curmudgeonly connection with each other.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what the whole film is about. It's a father-son story to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And where, you know, even though it's like, oh, we don't like each other at first, it's clearly that they do and that they're lonely. And they bond over the death of Bella to a certain extent. And that kind of drives them to continue the relationship as they go on for months out surviving.
And a lesser film would have turned that into a really cloying, super overly sentimental thing.
Yeah.
And that's not what this film is after.
It doesn't get too cute or anything
like that. No, it manages to make your heart feel really warmed, but in a very organic sort of like, hey, these are two lost souls who really needed each other. And never has to spell it out on screen for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Yeah.
Their relationship, their chemistry is so good. And then ultimately the whole like second half of this film is really kind of a chase film as they are trying to get away from the evil social worker and all the cops and the whole nation, which believes that he's a pervert who's abusing this kid out there. And they're just, neither one of them want anything to do with civilization.
It's weird. It's like, I don't think a manhunt would escalate to that size after a while for just two people.
I mean,
they bring in like the army in the movie. It's a great sequence. I mean, it really does become a chase for the last half, or not last half, but like, last few minutes.
There's a great news report as the chase is going on where this cop is just comparing it to Rambo.
Yeah.
It's like first John blood. Rambo, first yeah. blood, you know? It's like, wow, it kind of is in a way.
And they kind of, I guess this is the director's style, obviously, where he blends really unrealistic people with realistic people.
Yeah.
And where they call attention to that. Mm. And like, sometimes it works. Like, most of the time it works, but whatever, it kind of felt inconsistent to me sometimes, where I was kind of taken out. It's like, I don't know. It's like he tried to go for like a really just funny moment. Like he spent so much time focusing on the relationship between Sam Neill and the kid. And then when we go back to those moments, which are funny, it just like it kind of felt like you're trying to balance two tones that didn't always mesh for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's personally for me.
The only thing that took me out of this at all was the fact that after 6 months of hiking the mountains, that kid actually looked
he
put on weight. I'm like, I admit, they were eating boar and shit, but still.
Well, I mean, come on, Chris. The hobbits didn't lose weight when they made their way off.
But they're hobbits. They have a very different, like, whole thing.
Anatomy.
Plus, that lembas bread is just packed.
Sure, as we learn, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
We didn't even mention Rhys Darby, who appears in the third act as this, as Psycho Sam, who's just, every time he appears in a movie, you know you're in for something good, and sure enough, this is no exception. His character is given, like, maybe 10 minutes worth of stuff in doing this film, and he just kills in every sequence.
He does. I mean, yeah, he's totally playing, like, a conspiracy nut just living out in the, you know, the bush. And in that case, that kind of unrealistic character, I mean, I say unrealistic, there's people out there like that.
Yeah.
It really works. And he just has some, just moment after moment, that's to me when the movie is at its funniest.
Yeah. It's like, come with me into my secret, I built an escape tunnel. He opens it and there's just dirt. And he's like, damn, forgot to dig it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just wonderful moments like that, one after another.
Yeah, definitely.
By the way, the director played the minister at the funeral.
Oh, okay. That's another good moment right there.
Yeah, it is another good moment.
That actually, I could relate to that moment because, okay, I'm going to get a little personal right now.
Uh-oh.
So, when I went to my grandmother's funeral, like a few years ago.
Did you kill her?
I did not kill my grandmother. Okay. excuse me, not my grandmother. It was my grandfather. My mistake.
Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to keep it, but my grandfather.
Would get a lot more hits if it turned out you accidentally revealed that you murdered them.
Probably.
How much do you love this website, Chris?
I love it a lot. You know that.
Okay, so.
It's all for you, one of us.
Did you kill your grandfather?
I did not
or
kill
grandmother?
I did not kill either
Were
of them.
Were they transgender?
I smothered them with love. No. But I will say that's absolutely true. Where you can encounter a priest who is not the most eloquent speaker, and they can say some of the most just horrible things while they're up there and like speaking on, like, clearly, like when the priest was doing my kind of grandfather's eulogy, it was obvious that he knew nothing about my grandfather at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had this whole moment where he's like, I don't know, maybe he beat Elizabeth. Maybe he didn't. Who knows?
Seriously?
I'm absolutely serious. Hand to God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is why.
It was as silent as a church. I mean, it was.
It was a church.
It was a church.
So
everyone went,
seemed appropriate.
What the fuck?
No one even commented.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's quiet like it always is.
Yeah, so, that is probably the most realistic part in that whole movie.
Yeah, that's a very awkward funeral, for the record.
Mm-hmm. Also, this movie played up my fear of pigs even more.
Man, there is about the nastiest pig you will ever see in anything in this
boar.
Movie. Man, boars, and they get big. People forget those.
Apparently,
can get to be almost as big as like a bear. They get huge.
Oh, it's like that horror film Razorback, like from 1980.
From
terrifying
Australia.
Film. Yeah. There you go.
Well, this is New Zealand.
That's other Australia.
We know you guys aren't even on the same continent. But we don't care. You're the same place.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We're American. We say what's right.
apparently based on a book called Wild Pork and Watercress, for the
it's
record. Actually based on a real book, which surprised me.
Because
this feels very original. The guy who wrote it, Barry Crump, apparently huge, big outdoor guy who writes all, like, surviving the outdoors type stuff.
That makes sense for this.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of... You feel like the book probably has a lot more specificity to the things they did to survive.
So it's, true.
Here, it's, like, not wasting a lot of time.
No. Like, he's not writing it like Tolkien, where I'm going to talk about this tree branch for 1.5 pages.
Yes, but in poetry, Chris.
Oh.
And beautiful,
and in
beautiful
Elvish,
poetry.
Right? Oh, yeah. Great.
Don't
yeah.
make me start, well, start singing in Elvish, because I will.
No, please don't. Please don't. Don't tell me the tales of the Silmarillion or one of those other spin-off
No, I
books.
Wouldn't even do
or
that.
Or was it Christopher Tolkien, the billions that he's written? That
yeah, the Book of
about.
Lost Tales.
Yeah.
Even my dad, who's like obsessed with Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, read it like probably 100 times in his life, said he couldn't even get through all the Book of Lost Tales.
Yeah, there you go.
And he read the Silmarillion every year his whole life.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's sorry.
It's relevant.
I digress. Yeah. All I can say is I had a lovely time with this film. So much fun. So much of what makes this work is the director's just his style, the way he knows how to direct people.
Yeah,
he has
relationships.
This neat thing he does here with the camera, he does a lot of like very slow circular tracking spots that show the passage of time in kind of the same place with having the characters come in and out of the shot at different times.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Around, that's a neat effect, you know, that's like, oh, that's cool. There's a lot of that he uses to express, okay, and then another month went by or something like that.
Yeah, two particular sequences that's put to great good effect. Yeah, definitely.
So overall, I mean, like, this is another big step forward for this director who is shortly going to be doing both Thor Ragnarok, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
And the spinoff, because sequel apparently is inappropriate, but of What We Do in the Shadows called Werewolves.
Werewolves. Werewolves, yeah.
Which I approve of because
that's
it's
werewolves.
love it. But yeah, this is great stuff for me. I mean, like, it's so hard these days to do a film like this and not make it really either cloying,
schmaltzy,
or overlong, or just like, or borrow too heavily from other films. And I don't feel like this did any of those things. I mean, I know you said for you it felt a little long, but
to a certain extent,
it felt pretty tight for me. I never felt like there was a point that it was dragging. I really loved this. I loved the performances. Best thing I've seen Sam Neill do in a while.
Yeah, I mean, since Daybreakers, honestly. Yeah, certainly wasn't Jurassic Park 3.
So I give this a 9 out of 10 big scary boys.
Yeah. I'm getting flashbacks to Erie County Fair in Buffalo, New York, Chris, every time we talk about that. When that pig tried to attack me and tried to go after my stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, Buffalo, New York, 2005, at the Erie County Fair. It's since been renamed the All-American Fair because everyone got pissed off because we can't use Erie County anymore for some reason. Okay. I was petting the giant pigs because they had the pig weighing competition, as you know.
And you whispered in its ear, kill my grandfather.
No, I did not say that. But one of the pigs kind of freaked out because one of the other kids, like, was hitting out over the head. Horrible, cruel. But he went after me instead because I guess I was the closest to its maw. And it tried to go for my stuff.
That's what they do, man.
Yeah.
They know.
It would have been Theon Greyjoy.
It's going to take you down quick.
Horrifying.
How did you get out of there? Did the clown jump in?
Oh, I screamed. No. There was no pig clown or anything like that. I got out of there as fast as I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why you have
But the other kid, he didn't make it, though. It went after him next, and it tore him apart.
The kid's totally ripped to pieces.
He's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as those were the guy from Hannibal.
it was. he got Gary Oldman at the end. I enjoyed this movie too. Maybe not to as much as you obviously did. I thought some of the pacing was a little off. Like, they could have lost maybe like 10 or 15 minutes when just them traveling in the bush. And I also thought, like, some of the characters, it's so weird. It's like, I like so many of the weird out there characters, but again, just sometimes it didn't really work with the more realistic characters that they had throughout the film. So that kind of felt awkward at times. But really, the reason why I liked the movie so much is honestly just the relationship between Sam Neill and the Julian Dennison as Ricky. I just thought that was just so charming. And it really makes me very excited for Thor Ragnarok, which is clearly we're going to see something similar to, or maybe a great relationship between Thor and the Hulk, who have always been at odds of each other and throughout all the Avengers films.
I suspect this is that film is the one where they're going to start to make him, like, bring in the Banner into the Hulk.
I hope so. I mean, the smarter Hulk is always, I've always preferred smarter Hulk compared to dumb Hulk. So, I'm excited for that. But yeah, I think this movie is definitely worth seeing in the theater. I would probably give it 8 out of 10.
Dead grandfathers.
No. Jars. Sorry, Grandpa. Jars of Vegemite.
Jars of Vegemite. Okay. Mm. Speaking of, do you see, what's her name? Miley Cyrus just got a, was it Miley Cyrus just got a tattoo of Vegemite on herself because her, apparently her boyfriend likes it a lot.
Oh, okay.
That is the foulest tasting shit in the world.
It's gross.
It's
I'm
like
sorry.
Stings your tongue. Mm-hmm. Like you put it in your mouth and it's like, it's not like a hot sauce or something,
no.
But it has the same kind of pain, instant pain effect.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
I always thought it was like really salty.
It's just,
and people have it for breakfast. Yeah, disgusting. Sorry, New Zealand. We only like you for your hobbits, not your Vegemite.
And your Taika Waititis.
Yes, absolutely.
Ooh, check out the Waititis on that channel.